A very good morning, Namibia. A very good morning, Wednesday morning. It's showering. It's showering. You know, I don't want to wake up that kind of weather. It's that kind of weather that you don't just want to wake up at all. And a very good morning to you. And it's bringing us that that beautiful, beautiful, you know, feel, nice and cold. You know, as I said, I have to go and learn, you know, weather kind of report language, you see. So it's a very beautiful morning, Wednesday morning here on this side of the world. We come in to you, from Ondangwa. We live and, welcome to Eagle FM. It's a pleasure. So it's always a pleasure for us to have you joining us. And especially this time of the, of the morning. So good morning to you and welcome. So our time is about 5 minutes past the hour of 8. And as I said, we're coming to you live from the Ondangwa studio. So yes, how is the weather actually in your area? How's the weather in your town? We're enjoying our weather right now. It started raining a few days ago. And this morning continued to shower, which has actually made this beautiful morning. So I wish the weather is like this every morning, every day of the year. So hopefully we don't get flooded in a way, but I wish it's this kind of the weather that I have. I need to move. I think I need to move to Europe, you know, to that kind of weather, to a weather like this all the time. Very good morning to you. Welcome. Welcome. My name is Mike Oshoveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business news, economic and politics. So every weekday, we cut through the noise, to make sense of the big stories, trends and numbers making headlines. So we keep it clear and always curious, asking the questions that matter and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. So the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space to unpack the headlines and get to the heart of the stories. So good morning and welcome. If you're just joining us, this is Eagle FM and you are on Unpacking the Day. So, and before we unpack the day, we start looking at what happened on this day in Africa, on the 28th of January. Let me say good morning Africa, and welcome to On This Day in Africa, where we turn back the pages of our continent's rich and complex history to see what happened on this very day, January the 28th. Now, our journey begins today in the heart of East Africa, in Rwanda, on this day, in 1961, a major political event went, a political event known as the coup of Gitarama, known as the coup of Gitarama took place. Now, this event marked the end of the road of the century-old Rwandan monarch and led to a new republican government. Now, this one just a simple change. It was not just a simple change of leadership. It was a huge turning point during the Rwandan revolutions, and it set the stage for Rwanda to gain full independence from the Belgium just a year later. Now let's move west to the historical nation of Mali on this day in 2013, the ancient city of Tibouctou was at the center of a major military operation. Now, the French and Malian forces work together to recapture the city from the Islamic militant who had taken control. Now, this was a key moment in a northern Mali conflict, part of the larger international push to restore stability and push back extremist group in the region, reclaiming a city of immense cultural and historical importance. So, and finally, we tend to Southern Africa, to southern tip of the continent, South Africa, where the 28th actually of January holds several significant memories from the long struggle against apartheid. So in 1997, a year of truth-telling, it was a year of truth-telling, four former police officers from the apartheid era stood before the truth, the TRC, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission, and finally confessed to their role in the brutal killing of anti-apartheid hero Steve Biko. That's back in 1977. A dark day in 1991 when Ntunzi Velemsini Njakazi, a member of the ANC, was assassinated in Durban. He had just actually returned home after years in exile. A stark reminder of the danger faced by those fighting for freedom. But even in the toughest times, the fight for freedom continued on all fronts. In 1987, ANC President Oliver Tambo was in Washington, D.C., tirelessly building international support and lobbying against the apartheid regime. So that's all for this segment on this day in Africa. Join us again tomorrow as we continue to explore our rich and complex history on the continent. And when we come back, we will look at what is our thought for the day today. So stay tuned.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yes, welcome back. Welcome back. Our time is about 12 minutes past the hour of 8. And what is our thought for the day today? The sleeping jackal cannot catch poultry. A sleeping jackal cannot catch a poultry. The proverb means that if you remain inactive, idle, for example, or unprepared, you won't achieve your goals or gain anything. Much like a predator that sleeps instead of hunting will catch nothing. So it emphasizes the importance of being alert, you know, being alert, proactive and diligent if you want actually to succeed or make any progress. So in essence, sleeping or being inactive is equal to missed opportunities, and success requires effort, you know, and initiatives. So the proverb stresses hard work and attentiveness as an essential, you know, to achieve a result. So make sure that the decision you make and the choices you make today, you are, you know, are those that one requires effort and initiative for you to be successful. So, yeah, a sleeping jackal cannot catch a poultry. So that's our thought for the day at this morning. So, well, stay tuned. When we come back, we're looking ahead on the show this morning.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn, our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Omudiha utekirwa kaguna ii madina omjo. Chikawa shafaa sana nana longe shifaa yae shiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisa mwene. Anage shifaa ya Namibia ombito ombwa na wa olonjika. Seisa nina omayakuro nirandisoma yoe yonge shifaa yoe okupitiramo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka.
When you choose UNAM,
you get credible accreditations.
You get internationally recognized qualifications.
You get a university with a growing reputation.
When you choose UNAM,
you get a head start on local jobs.
You become connected in a growing Namibia.
You stay in the best country in the world.
Because you already know you love it here.
Open your mind to UNAM.
And UNAM will open the world to you.
UNAM is your university, Namibia.
Because the you in UNAM is you.
So a very good morning and welcome. Thanks for joining us at this time. Thanks for joining us here on Eagle FM. It's always, we love having you with us here on Eagle FM. So what are we expecting to discuss this morning? What are we going to talk about? What are we going to unpack this morning? So there is a very interesting story that we're following up that I would like to unpack, and I would like you to subscribe to The Villager. Make sure that you subscribe to The Villager, or what you need to do is just send a WhatsApp message to this number saying subscribe. And you just sent, you know, your name and your email address, so to this number, a WhatsApp message to this number, 08081 241 44. So, and you'll be then receiving your digital copy of the e-newspaper of The Village, e-newspaper. Every Monday, Wednesday, and, you know, and Friday. So it's not too late if you subscribe already. If you do that right now, we may still actually get the paper, today's e-newspaper. So make sure that you subscribe so that you don't miss this business and economic updates and news on a weekly basis. So what we have, the study that we're going to look at is a whole unresolved land compensation. It's about unresolved land compensation, a dispute. Those disputes are a major obstacle slowing the delivery of housing in Rundu. And this is not just in Rundu. I think it's the same problem across the country. And that's according to the town councils on the meeting that took place there with the parliamentary committee. So that we're going to look at that, some of the issues that are coming out there. It's worth looking at and really maybe bring it in the public discourse and discuss about it. So, and if we have a time, we're also going to look at the government is spending more money than it's actually bringing in. So, and the consequences, they could be very painful. So we're going to look at that. Also, there's also a report looking at our Namibian government spending more money than it's actually bringing in. Could this be very dangerous? So we're also going to look into that. Make sure that you stay tuned, and many more other stories that we can look at. Also, we're going to look at also we're going to bring you also that section of the industrial brief later around 9:15. So as a new segment on our on unpacking the day. So make sure that you tune there as well. I'll bring you some update that we found. That would be brought to you by The Villager. So make sure that you tune in for that as well. So, and of course, your participation will also be part of the show. Of course, that's why this show is here. It's for you. When we come back quickly, we're going to get into this.
My friend, why do you seem so worried? Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Oh, that's right. This is Eagle FM, the I. So good morning to you. If you're just joining us, welcome back to Unpacking the Day. And I'm your host, Big Mike. And today we are turning our attention to north. We're going to the north. Is it northeast? North, north, northeast. To the growing town of Rundu. It is a story about land, a story about money, a story about housing crisis that seems to be, you know, stuck. You know, that's stuck in the neutral. So that's where we go. So, and this is a story we're following, and it's a story in our today's edition, in our today's edition of The Villager by Anacleta Haikera. So make sure that you subscribe for the Villager. So, and we all know the pressure for housing in our towns and cities. It's a daily struggle for so many Namibians. This is not just a story in Rundu, but in Rundu, they are facing a perfect storm that's bringing new housing development to a green standstill. And at the heart of it all is one very tricky issue. And then probably that's an issue, you know, experienced by all the town and cities. That's compensation for land. Compensation for land, that's the main issue. So let's unpack the story. Let's unpack the story for you and what is really happening on the ground. So let's see what is really happening on the ground. So the Rundu Town Council recently told the parliamentary committee that they are ready to build. So when the parliamentary committee came in town, they said, yeah, we are ready to build. And we have the land actually surveyed as well. So all that is ready. And we are talking about over 28,000 plots waiting to be developed. Wow, 28,000 plots waiting to be developed. That's huge number. It is actually a huge number. And it could mean homes. That could mean homes for thousands of families. I mean, if you're talking about 28,000 plot waiting to be developed, that could mean a lot of homes for thousands of families. Now, but here's the problem. But there is a big problem. What is the big problem? The problem is when the council now tries to develop an area, they need to move people. They need to move people who are living there. They got to move them. So, and they offer them money. All right? As the law requires. So they need to offer them money because that's what the law requires. But the people are saying, nope, we aren't moving anywhere. So we are not going anywhere. They're refusing to move. And they are telling the councils, what you are offering us is not fair. Is not fair at all. It doesn't reflect the value of our land. It doesn't reflect the value of our homes. It doesn't reflect the value, maybe the most important things, the value of our history. You know, some people have been born in those areas. They grew up there. It doesn't reflect our history. And I can relate to that. I live, I was born here in Onawa. you know, Shakati. So, and we have to move, we have to give space, to the locations. So the location from the Oshakati town now, they have to move there. And many people have lost their field, and the value of their field was peanuts, was absolutely peanuts. So you get maybe one plot or two plot in your own field, and the amount of money that you are given, you couldn't even be able to build a two bedroom house. Eh? And imagine in your household, in your crawl house. So how many people do you have? You have probably about adults, you could be have about four or five or six. Eh? Yeah, some in some houses you may have about seven, eight people. So now when you move them and you allow them to have one or two plot, and the amount of money that you're given, the field, I can tell you one of the field, even our own field. Our own field, let me talk about our own field. Our own field today can fit 100 houses, close to 100 houses. But the compensation was not even actually half a million. It was not even half a million. I understand exactly what these people are talking about. It was not even half a million. So, and what the value of those houses they built, the amount of the houses they built, the value of the houses they built, now how much that would cost? Could cost a billion, millions and millions. Eh? But you couldn't even get a half a million for the field. It is true. It doesn't reflect the value of the land, of the land. And now, the people have to move. They are not even given, where are you going to move? Where are you moving? Or we move you somewhere, you know, to another place. We move you here and we take you to another place where, you know. Actually, the people that are benefiting are the ones that are being moved from the locations, because they are moved there. They are given now a space. Yeah, at least they are given a space. You are moving. Well, you get one or two plots, but how many are you in the house? And the amount of money that you're given wouldn't make up for your old houses that you have. So this is the problem. It doesn't reflect the value of our land. That's why people actually refuse to move in Rundu. So, and as I said, this is not something only happening in Rundu. It's happening in many of the towns across the country. So they stay put. They didn't move. So they stay put. And then what happened to the development? What happened to the development? Well, it stops. It stops completely. Now, it's a standoff now. Standoff between what the town council wants to do and the people saying, well, if you want us to move, well, pay us what our land is worth. And the council can't build. They cannot build. And the people can't get fair value of what they are being asked to give up. So now that's become a standoff. So, and this has been going on, according to the story, according to the article, this has been going on for so long that the council admit they haven't delivered. Now, they haven't delivered a single new serviced plot for 10 years. In 10 years. You see, for 10 years, they haven't delivered anything. 10 years, good. And this is, as I said, this is just, we're highlighting just one town. We are just highlighting the town of Rundu. But this is happening all over, you know. But we have to say, for example, Oshakati have done very well, I must say. My town didn't do well at all. For years hasn't really built anything. I'm not too sure much about Ondangwa, but the development of town is very slow. The servicing of plot is very slow, you know. Sometimes it comes to maybe a lack of fund, that could be also comes into play. But much of that is because compensation, it's really, really peanuts, and people don't want to lose their plot, their property, their house, their history, you know, for something as which wouldn't even make a single bedroom, I mean, a one bedroom house. And imagine how many people have been in the house, you know? So 10 years, think about that. 10 years without any single new service plot. We'll come back after this.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
So welcome back. Our time is about 30 minutes past the hour of 8, and we're talking about the standoff. A standoff between the council and the people who think that their plot, their land, is worth more than what the council is actually offering. And we're talking about the town of Rundu. And this issue of compensation is not just the issue of Rundu. It is the issue, I think, many of the towns and cities around across the country are experiencing. Now, the very interesting thing, you know, and one interesting thing is that the town keeps growing. Well, not in the way you're thinking that, okay, how it keep growing, because now they are not servicing any plot, and how it, well, it keeps growing. People are moving in. So people are moving in the town, looking for opportunities, immigration from the rural areas into town. And where do they end up? Of course, in informal settlement. So the town is actually growing. The town of Rundu is growing, even if, you know, there are no, there haven't been service plot for almost 10 years. Now, the article also mentioned 8 of these unplanned areas popping up around Rundu, you know, because people are, this is now the informal settlement. So while one problem stalls, while this problem actually stops progress, you know, the compensation studies that we're talking about, another one grows right next to it. Another one just grows right next to it. So now it even get more complicated. Eh? It even get more complicated. It's not just about now the amount of the money. It's about who even gets it. So who gets it? Now, a town council member pointed out that the whole system for verifying claims is a mess. This is a person from the town council saying it is a mess. You know, before the government can pay anyone, all right, before government can pay anyone, they have to be 100% sure they are paying the right person. So, because sometimes some people are in place where, and especially when it's a traditional, how would I say, the land belonged to a family traditionally. So the people that may be in the land, they might not be the owner of the land. You know, but you know the stories. Yeah. So let's quickly hear from the caller what he want to say.
A very good morning to you.
Morning, how are you?
I'm fine, man, and yourself?
Fine.
Mm.
The issue of Rundu.
Yeah. We're back to Rundu. Yeah.
You see, sometimes I will squarely blame the leadership of Kavango East and West region.
Why do you blame them?
Hmm. Look here. From Divundu up to Rundu is 200 kilos.
Yeah.
from Kachina, Mururani to Rundi is 130 kilos. Then you put the entire villages like Ngaute. All of them flock to Rundu, let me say. And Rundu itself is surrounded by, okay, a settlement like Sawyemwa, Kasote, whatever you call it, the Hilka Park. It's huge. It's Kehemu. Why can't they even look? If you can see Oshakati, Ongwediva, and Hondangwa.
Yeah.
If you put them together, it's just like Rundu.
Yeah, yeah.
Why would they not even, let me say, split it to Soke from Sawyemwa, Kasote, and this one, Skanduko? You make it a town on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Then Rundu, starting from Paradise there, until at Kehemo at the campus, you make it a town. Then from Kaisosi that side, you make it also a town.
Yeah, so the distance between now Kaisosi and Rundu town, is it even about 5 kilometers? Would it that be
let
even
me say
5 kilometers?
From Kayengona that side of Mutwarancha, let me say up to Kasote.
Yeah.
You see? Because you will find Rundu urban and Rundu rural.
Yeah.
Now, there I can see plus minus, if not 35 kilos, then I'm lying. Maybe 30. People will come and correct it.
Yeah.
To Kasote, there is maybe 30 kilos.
Okay, yeah, no, that deserves to be another town, yeah.
Yes. You see, at least make them two.
Mm.
You see? And seriously, and also development in the villages. We have councillors. They must start creating projects or proposing for projects.
Mm.
So that people can at least stay in the villages and do something there.
Yeah.
Because nowadays people, this young generation, you don't tell that person to go and depend on Mahango or whatever. No, they won't.
I mean, if there's nothing at all, no opportunities, no facilities for, let's say, for example, entertainment or whatever the case may be, of course, people will move to town. Yeah.
That's why it says, schools are overcrowded in Rundu.
Mm.
Everything, water crisis and so on, because the villages are empty, I'm telling you straight now.
Yeah.
Because there is nothing.
Yeah, exactly.
When we talk about rural development, I don't know, but okay, you will see a minister who is responsible for that. Why can't you also give induction to the councillors and traditional leaders?
Mm. And mentioning a point when you said rural development, what is exactly that means?
When we talk about rural development,
what does it mean, really?
What does it mean, and what should the minister do? And what has he done?
Yeah.
Or what have that ministry, what that ministry have done in the past?
Mm.
Yeah, you see, maybe when you say about rural development, what does it mean?
Yeah.
You see, now, to him, to the minister responsible, supposed to start from there, because rural to urban migration is now, I'm not only Rundu, as you said.
Yeah, it's
all
not
the
only
towns
all
are
the towns.
Overcrowded.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. Because people have nothing to do in rural areas.
There's nothing. There's nothing at all. You understand?
Yeah, but if they can make Minister of Agriculture, Minister of Urban and Rural Development, I don't know, then they can also, maybe Agribank can come in, identify those farmers, okay, give them project or give them something so that they can also employ fellow village people.
Yeah. We were promised, like, there was actually a promise that there would be processing plants in every region. And so those are things that could be identified in a rural area where now, you know, people can actually now flock to the rural areas because there's a opportunity for job opportunities there. So,
yes,
so far, we don't hear anything anymore.
You see, in Rundu, when we talk about timber, you are talking about Rundu.
Yeah.
Why can't we just have a plant, maybe manufacturing plant for chairs and whatever, desk, whatever for the schools?
Exactly, yeah. Actually, it could be manufacturing tables and chairs and furnitures from Rundu, actually.
Yes.
For the whole country, and the quality of the trees or material that comes from there, it's top notch.
But what have the leaders done?
Yeah.
They allow the Chinese, you see, to ship out those timbers to China.
Yeah.
You see now, while Kavangos themselves have pure talent of doing that.
Yeah. Yeah.
You see now, Those are the things which the current minister, he must not, okay, it's fine what he's doing to these local authorities and so forth. But can't he focus also, because it's two, urban and rural development. Can't he at once focus on that one? Either maybe we must blame the constituency councillors, or maybe he can just bring them on with traditional leaders.
But how big is the budget of a constituent of constituency councils? How big is their budget? Yeah,
I think, okay, before we go to the budget, it's just you bring them together.
Mm.
Okay, let me say the councillors and the traditional leaders.
Yeah.
You see, then you identify areas where development can take place.
Yeah.
Then you will know that, okay, in this area, what can we do? Can we do fish farming, which can employ people?
Mm.
Okay, can we have a plant to produce chairs and whatever? What can we do here? Can we produce corn? Can we produce maybe peanuts? Can we produce tomato sauce, just like a factory for tomato sauce?
Yeah.
You must just...
Yeah. And why don't... The other thing, just to add to what you're saying, why can't that we have those planned publicly? Why can't we have those that... Okay, for our region... These are actually things that we are planning to do for this constituency. This is actually what we plan to do. And it's publicly, I can have it. I can go and look at it and said, okay, for our constituency, this is what we expected something to do. Those things never become public available, or it's out there. We know this year we are actually planning to build this and this and this and this and this.
Yes, that is the thing. But we will clap hands if one constituency councillor maybe go and advocated for a borehole, water borehole, or a clinic. Yes, it's there, but that is not enough.
The other thing is that it's not just enough, but you know that you have to think in terms of when was this was planned. Maybe the borehole that you're getting now, you were supposed to get that actually 20 years ago.
Yes, you see.
So now you're creeping having a borehole now, but that's actually 20 years, you know, achievement that could have been done actually 20 years ago.
Yeah. So, you can also say, okay, here is water. Let me train you in community to have a community garden. You see?
Yeah.
Where you can produce tomatoes, potatoes, whatever, these veggies, and sell it maybe at these public schools, hostels. You see? Then people will not, because there is no use for me to be a security guard, guarding ShopRite for 12 hours, getting 1,200. But in my village where I'm coming from, I can work from my house. I'm fine there.
Mm.
Me getting 1,000. You see, where will you go?
Exactly.
I will go to the village.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah, you see. That is the thing what they should look at. Even these housing issues inside the policy zone or in these towns will be the thing of the past.
Yeah.
Because people will go back. Because going back home to do what is the question.
Yeah.
That's why you say even traditional healers are here. You see, trying their luck. You see, pastors are here. Everyone, you see, religious leaders, they are coming this side.
Yeah.
You see, now I see in towns, in these towns, there are also these traditional headmen. They are starting here now because they know there is nothing.
And that's the story where we were talking about the other day, that, you know, the traditional leaders are also now coming to Windhoek rather than being in their own villages.
You see now.
Because there's nothing.
Everywhere in Swakop, Grootfontein, he will say he's there also working.
Yeah.
You ask him, he say, I'm a village headman. But he's working in the shop, or he's working somewhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, because for him to just to stay put in the village, how will he survive? Is the question.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, we cannot blame them, but to wear bread, this is where your hands should be. You see? Yeah. No, but the thing is, seriously, the leader should look at that. I don't know who is responsible for that, but if we can just even look at the ministries of urban and rural development.
Yeah.
Seriously, I haven't seen anything.
Yeah,
developed in rural areas.
Yeah. What do we have? Where are the targets? Where are the strategies? Where are the targets that we're going to do for any constituency? I'm looking at for my own constituency. I want to know what this year, what are the developing projects that are there?
Yes.
So and they, absolutely, there's nothing.
There's nothing, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
There's nothing. If there is nothing, what do you expect? You see?
Yeah.
What do you expect? Then the people, even the town councils will start now selling, because they know that, okay, people don't have a choice anymore.
Mm.
You see? because they can do whatever they want because it is on demand. Everyone wants a house. Everyone wants to settle in town.
Yeah.
But if you look at this, the farmers, the white farmers,
yeah.
You see, what they did before independence, those people were put in the, they were producing.
Yeah.
Mm. You will see him coming to town and need to come and buy groceries and so and go back. You see, they never stayed in town here. Mm. They never stayed here, maybe to come and visit, but all of them were in their farms.
Yeah.
But to us, you will see a person is having a farm allocated to him via this, what is this, resettlement program.
Yeah.
But that person is in Windhoek.
Exactly,
that farm
yeah.
is just like a holiday resort. Mm. You see? Now, why can't, why they could have...
It's not even become a holiday resort because it's become devastated. It doesn't look like a holiday resort anymore.
Yeah, to go there and have a party maybe for a weekend and come back.
Yeah.
Or bride to make it... You see, instead of the government would have implemented policies to say, if you are resettled on this farm because it was producing, look at what was produced here. If you want to do something else, we'll give you 5 years. Mm. We will give you 5 years for you to start producing. Otherwise, it will be taken away from you.
Yeah.
You see? This is where community, even you give it to the community. Look at Ongombo West. You see? Give it to the community. Just, how can I say, proceed where the person stopped. Maybe they were proceeding, producing corn or maybe beef or whatever.
Yeah.
Then tell the people, just educate them and say, look, this is yours. Just be in a group. Produce something so that you can sell or at least employ some people.
Mm.
But nowadays, seriously, you can't see anything being done now. You will see a person, you will hear, no, this leader is having 2 resettlement farms. The director of what was resettled away is fine. It's not wrong for them to be resettled.
Yeah.
But please utilize that farm.
Yeah.
Make it productive so that you can employ people, produce something to feed the nation. That's what we want. But nowadays, seriously, our leaders during election, and the problem also for us citizens during campaigns, we don't ask them questions. We just sing the liberation songs or political songs from there, clash with oppositions and so on, then we are done.
Yeah, I think there is, we need to change. For me, I really think we need to change our political system. Yeah, because the political system we have, it doesn't really help for a development, really.
Yeah.
It doesn't really, because people, ourselves, the people we don't take ownership, maybe we're coming from the colonial, you know, mentality where we just hope that, you know, things will give us, leaders know what they are doing and then, you know, things will just provide it for us. Because we need to take ownership of our own development. I think that's the mentality that the community should have, that development have to come from us. And from that point of view is that we would not tolerate anyone who comes and not be able to do anything. If you are not performing, we get you out of here, you know.
Look, traditionally, we were educated at home, you see. But now we have shielded that away and just focus on this formal education only.
Mm.
Knowing that not everyone will do it, you see, will achieve what, you see, you must educate the community based on what they should do. Tell them if there is a land where they can produce whatever, just educate them, not only to have a mahangu field for you to eat.
Yeah.
It can go to the extent of you making money out of that.
Mm.
Not only having more than 100 kettles or 50, then you are proud. No, you can also start maybe producing cheese.
Yeah,
you see?
Exactly.
Yeah, or fresh milk.
Mm.
Fresh milk. Then at least you will recruit, you will see when the person, maybe 3-4, you can educate maybe 20 people in the rural area or 50.
It's actually what you're saying. How do we add value to the resources that we have right now? You know,
exactly.
Not what we're dreaming, but what we have now. How do we add value to what we have right now? Yeah, in our communities.
Yeah. Mm. Those are the things, you see, and if we talk about land, it has been being fenced off. It's fine, you can fence off, but what is the purpose of you fencing it off?
Yeah.
If you say, no, look, here, my plan is to produce tomatoes, to produce whatever, in order to sell, and the community can procure from me on a cheaper price, then I don't have a problem with you.
Yeah.
But you fence off the field or the land, but there's nothing happening.
Yeah, there's nothing actually that benefiting now the country, benefiting the community. There's nothing happening. Yeah.
Yes, that is the thing. But if I go and fence off maybe 20 hectares, I am producing, I employ maybe 15 people from that village.
Yeah.
Okay, and I have like a shop there where people can come and buy tomatoes or whatever I'm producing there. At least, do you think people will chase me away?
No, definitely not. Yeah.
They won't, but they will just be frustrated because they say, look, what is the purpose of this person coming here?
Yeah.
Even our life, it is now worse than before, because that time we can go and maybe do gathering like this wild fruits and so on.
Mm.
But it's been fenced off. We cannot grazing land is fenced off. That's where they will be frustrated. Or you start there, you have, look, I'm fencing off. I have 300 cattle. I'll start with to produce cheese, milk, and meat and beef, so, or whatever, or a butchery. You can procure from me or buy from me, or I will just even employ 10 people from here. And when the people see that one, it is working, they will even say, bring another one also.
Yeah. All right, man.
Because you are developing that rural area.
Yeah.
But the leaders are not looking at that. I think, in conclusion, the Minister of Urban, I think maybe he can just come and clarify on this one.
Mm.
When we say about urban and rural development, what do you mean about rural development?
Yeah. I will even take up this with some people. Please. To understand what is really rural development.
Please, let us see how and where the development took place since independence in the rural areas, and how did it, if there is how, then we can learn from that.
All right, man.
Okay, sharp.
Thanks for coming through.
Sharp.
Mm. So we started off, 0833-66091. We're talking about the compensation. The story, we follow a story in today's edition of the Villager, so I was talking about that the council members, we're talking about when it comes to compensation, the council pointed out that the whole system for verifying claims is actually in a mess. And before the government actually can pay anyone, they have to be 100% sure that they are paying the right person. And who do they rely on to confirm this? So, of course, it's then traditional authorities. So there are so many bodies that are involved. But apparently, this verification process is incredibly slow. So some traditional leaders are hesitant to confirm who the rightful owners are. And this creates also a massive bottleneck. People are left waiting and unsure if they will ever see any compensation. So they're just left, hanging. So, and there's also a deep, deep-seated mistrust, all right? A deep-seated mistrust here, because the council member said that in the past, people were never actually properly educated about their rights. So some actually lost their land years ago and were never compensated at all. So they were never compensated at all. So today, when now the council comes and knocking, now the council come knocking and said, yeah, people become more suspicious. They become suspicious. They remember. So you fooled me once. Not again. So they remember the past and they think, why should we trust you now? So why should we trust you now? So it's, look at that. It's a legacy of pain that poisoning the well of progress, if I can put it more in a poetic way. So yeah, let's get to the caller quickly and then see what he has to say. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, how are you?
I'm fine, and yourself?
I'm all right, my brother. Now you're talking about Rundu.
Yeah, Rundu is one of the towns that always have something to say,
Yeah.
Yeah. So we're talking about compensations, and this is a story that's actually, it's the same across the towns all over in the country. Yeah.
You know the problem, I think where we are getting everything wrong is that we want to develop town. We say we are bringing the service to the people.
Yeah.
But I think we never hear the engagement with them.
Mm.
What is needed really? Look here, yeah? We have Orundu.
Yeah.
And if you check, Orundu is what? How many villages they are surrounding Orundu?
Yeah.
Alone. And now, when we're having Orundu, it's almost like the way we are setting up the what? Okongo village. Town Council. How many, if you look, at least, but Enana is 5 bits.
Yeah.
I can say, okay, we need the services, it's true. But sometimes setting up a town without your purpose.
Yeah.
What is this town is going to what stand on it? Because sometimes when you are setting up a town like a mine, yes, you can understand there's a mine, but how long is that mine going to last?
Yeah.
You see? Now we are setting up for town just for sake of town, sake of development, bringing the town, and then now you are taking the land from the people. People used to grow their cattle, used to grow their mango.
Mm.
And where do you place them now? And so now they become having also to pay the service without even employing them.
Yeah. But the other point the caller was making is that if you're not doing anything in the rurals, you know, you will have constantly people flocking to the town. You know, this generation comes, the next generation comes, you will have, you know, people flocking to the town. And the other thing is that when now the town are not ready for that. So they are not ready. Infrastructure-wise, they are not ready for that. Yeah. And budget-wise, to be able to provide the social services, you're not ready for that. So it's when we talk about development, what do we talk about really? So do we only thinking about, okay, we need to build houses for people, we need to, you know, to bring electricity, or do we have a comprehensive understanding of the growth dynamic of the population? You understand? The growth dynamic of the population, and then how do we then provide service and development, give an understanding of that?
That one, we're going to extend it to, like, you know why African become a brain drain?
Yeah.
It's because there's opportunity the other side.
Mm.
And what do you think everybody's working to window? Because we see, Mikey went to Windhoek.
Yeah.
With his only what? Kashike? Okamodeko. But Mikey, when he comes back, he's having even a goal 5.
Yeah. Yeah, he got lucky so, in Windhoek.
As I am a cattle herder, which I used to look for my cattle for my grandfather or whatever.
Mm.
Then I have to also to make a way that no, Mike, will you all go to accommodate me maybe like a 3 or 4 months?
Yeah.
Will I'm trying something? That's obvious. It's a push and pull factor.
Mm.
You see? And this is what is happening in even town.
Yeah.
When bring up a town, when you bring up a town, people are looking at the opportunity with it coming along with.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, some of this town we are just developing for sake of development. Because remember, you can build a house, but those houses are even urban. They are not really a lot to cater for people for like a opportunity for black layers and you name it, who are doing construction. Now, the person come there for construction. Maybe I was working for project for Mike. Okay, now the project is done. And now there's no more projects coming for construction. Though I will be hanging on maybe somebody will come up with something.
Yeah.
You see? But now I'm inviting also my cousin who was there to come along. Maybe there's something coming in. That's why now the town has become so crowded. And the problem I see with what we are doing, especially the local government, what it's supposed to do. Look, we copy and paste.
Yeah.
Look at what the South Africans are doing. When they are developing like a Cape Town, Cape Town is developed, then maybe they have a Maitsburg or whatever, the Petersburg or whatever.
Yeah.
It's a farm. Like in Windhoek, we have a Windhoek, but Kahanja to be a farm. Supplying Windhoek with everything. There are some people who are doing cattle. I mean, there are some people who are doing farming for cattle. Some are doing for pig farming. And we have also some people who are doing crop production.
Yeah.
Okay, let me give you an example.
I would say it's even worse. I mean, it's, you're giving an example of South Africa, but if you see, it's two different worlds, which is completely contrasting when you're looking at in South Africa, for example. Now, what you're saying is true in terms of like, you have a beautiful, beautiful places that you can go, like let's say, for example, over on the seaside. You know, yeah. This expensive, you know, metropolitan yeah. kind of city. Mm-hmm. And then yeah. you have also really large part that is farming, which is owned by mostly white people. But then go to places mm-hmm. like Khayelitsha, go to places like Nyanga, go to places like, yeah. you know, those kind of where you... I need a rumbu mi packet, my friend, you know? So,
yeah, you see?
Yeah. Now, this large number of people actually is squashed in a very small, in a very tiny, in a very tiny place. And they live on top of each other, you know?
I'm telling you.
Yeah. And I can tell you, our Katutura, it's a far better places. Go to better places than, like Nyanga, Khayelitsha, or those, my friend. Those
small places, in the very thin. Where they are even doing what? Underground mining, what? Illegal mining.
Oh, no, no. Yeah.
But the thing what I think what we're supposed to do as a Namibian, we're supposed to also to come up with a good method. You see, why we are saying people are moving, African Benin become a drain place for people who are having knowledge and what talented they are living.
Yeah.
It's because we don't give them opportunity. We don't bring them on the table. What do you think why a lot of people who are in the, Europeans are interested in the people who are having know-how? Let me say now, when it comes to academic, when it comes to even talent for like a soccer or learning or what, boxing.
Yeah.
We have example even in the Zimbabwean here, who was, what's his name? The guy is the boxer. Mm. Nigerian is the same. And now you look at how the England even look, the squad, when it comes to blacks.
Yeah.
You see, the problem is that we never experience, like in Namibia, when it comes to human resource, we don't explore our human resource, like to send them out there, to give them opportunity, like in Angola and the whole subject. Why do you think that Zimbabwean are here? They are here. We can say it's a sanction, but people are just also talented.
Yeah, now you're touching on something different, yeah? Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah. Mm. Okay, let me go back now. We are talking about today now, the town.
Yeah.
I think, when it comes to town, my friend, let us start. When you're putting a town, the first thing we have to focus is employment.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not the sake of employment for cleaning service. No. We are talking about factory.
Mm.
Come up with a factory. Come up with something. You know, like in now, okay, I can give you an example now because I'm from Elana Fidi.
Yeah.
We are Elana Fidi. Okay. In Elana Fidi, we have a hospital, like a Angela Hospital. And we have also Ponofi Secondary.
Mm.
Across the way, so there's Ongosho. But not even people who are, there's a VTC, but in those VTC, what you're supposed to do, because every time you have a broken chair, you have a broken table.
Yeah.
Why don't set up a factory with Elana Fidi funding?
Exactly. Yeah.
And they will take those students from there, those who are graduating from the VTC, to come and do this from a nun even. No. To come and do the chair, wedding chair.
As I said, in this budget, in this 25-26 budget, there was a budget line on every constituency getting a processing plant.
I think I remember. I think we touched something like that.
Yeah, every constituency getting a processing plant. You know, or if it's not constituency, every region, it could be every region, you know, so.
No, yeah. I think it was a constituency.
Yeah, every constituency.
I think we even debate me and you.
Yeah, every constituency or region getting a processing plant. Can you hear anything about it?
What happened to it? What happened to it?
Yeah, and these are things that we're talking about. And now what you're talking about, like, you know, having a factory that's actually, you know, repair chairs. And that could be, if you start something like that, it could not only be for that region, it could be something actually that actually become, can grow and actually offer that, provide that kind of service to the whole country.
Yeah? I'm telling you, Mike, this is what we need as a people when we are bringing up a town. Because now, I'm telling you, Mike, now we've become a vulnerable people because you are taking away of our cattle, which we used to have, our goat, which we used to graze.
Yeah.
You are mahangu, which we used to grow, to rely on. Yeah. Now, once you take all of that, then some of us are inbred.
Yeah.
And now we find ourselves in the corner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're making people more poor because now they don't have an area where they can graze. Their animal will die. And what happened? You know? Yeah, for the sake of development. Now, who are you? This is now the conflict where you think you actually, sometimes they move people, they build up these houses. Houses are expensive. People are not actually buying those houses. They remain there for years, actually empties. Nobody afford them. And then you move people who now are in much worse situation than before. And now you're asking, who are you serving?
And now we're complaining about where everybody's clogging his window. Yeah. What do you think when you take these people from that you take a rent from Atlanta City, where the people are going to move?
Yeah.
That's the problem. Because we are not doing anything. We are not doing what is needed there to the people.
Yeah.
We just remove them. We take the lifehood where they used to live. And now they become vulnerable people. And it's what we've been doing for us. 6 years.
Yeah.
And now we are complaining even like now there are more street kids.
Yeah. And I can tell you from Apataja, Pat Peter Rukandaro, Angamza and Vakpao. Now, those people, what happened now? Because location, what happened is that they are now Overigemo Marukandama Pif. You know? They used to have their own field whereby this time again Ovanova Purula Veno Maps and Ape Ninibao. But now what happened? Now they're in location, doing nothing, drinking tombens and other traditional stuff. Having nothing to do.
Now, make it worse. You know now, even people who used to live in like in Windhoek West area and so on.
Yeah.
They find themselves what? They sell their house because they cannot afford to keep up the mortgage of the services of a municipality.
Yeah.
When they sell it, they go and build a bus way, Havana or Goriahab. And this is what is happening at the current time. Because remember, once you don't have a job, what are you going to pay the service of municipality?
Yeah.
It's what is happening in the north now, when you are talking to me, I'm talking to you.
Yeah. Let's hear what others
say.
Okay, great. Yeah. Great. Thanks for coming through.
We're focusing on Rundu, but you're welcome to come through. If anything struck you and you want to comment on it, you are most welcome to come through. So is the law the problem? So is the law the problem? You might think so. So now we're talking about the compensation issues have been highlighted in this article. So, but one member of the parliamentary committee, that was Job Ampanda, made a really interesting point where he said that the law itself, the policy on paper might be okay. And most of the time, the law is not a problem. The real monster is, he argues, and most of you probably would agree, is the implementation of the law. And that's one thing I keep saying, that is the disease in this country. You know, it's how the law is used in practice. So that is the problem. So he gave a simple but a powerful example, where he said, imagine you have some land, okay? You know the council is coming to assess it for compensation, for example. Now, so you plant a dozen of, say, mango trees. You know, these are some of that grow very fast. So the assessor comes and sees the trees and adds their value to the to your compensation package. Now, for some reason, a month later or some other time later, for whatever reason, you have to remove those trees. Maybe they're causing allergies or whatever the case may be. Maybe they are diseased. All right? So it's just an example. Suddenly, if the council now reassess your land, it will be less worth. You know, it will be worthless. All right? So your compensation actually have to drop. Now, the question is it fair? Is that fair? Does that the system reward people who can play the game and punish others? So it shows how a policy that looks neutral on paper can be deeply unfair in a real life. As you can see as an example, it's not about the true long-term value of the land to a family. You understand? Because that it has a value to a family. It's about, you know, it's like it's a snapshot. You know, we take a snapshot in time and that can be easy. And that snapshot can be easily manipulated. So you understand? So I think you're making a point. So
get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the R.
All right, welcome back. You may be experiencing a little something we have been experiencing a little bit, and we just have to apologize. We may be coming in and coming out sometimes, please. It's just sometimes the connections. We apologize for that. So if that's what you're experiencing on your radio. So now. So, and I think this is where now we need to open up. Yeah. You need to come through and really have your say on this. This is not just a, and as I said, this problem is not just about Rundu. This is a Namibian problem. Yeah? It's a Namibian problem. So maybe when you come through, given this story that we're looking at, let me ask you a few questions, you know, that I want you really to think about. And when I'm asking these questions, I want you really, really, for us as a nation, to critically think, you know. So, for example, who get to decide what your land is truly worth? Because people are suffering. You know, remember, these are people, their whole life have been on this land. It doesn't matter. Kucha no kaumbo ikekerio poke nendu danatu. Yeah? It doesn't matter whether it's just a little crawl house with three, that's their life. So you take that away, they will never get that back. They will never get the history back. They will never get that back. So now, that's my question. Who gets really to decide what your land is truly worth? A government official with the clipboard who just come with the clipboard, or the family whose ancestors are buried there, because your ancestors are also buried there. This is a conversation we should have. It's a conversation one. What do you think? And what about our traditional leaders? Are they guardian of our customs? Are they guardian of our custom, protecting people's land rights? Or have they become another hurdle? They become another challenge in the system. The system that is already failing. And here's a big one. Okay? If the law says one thing, but your community sense of justice says another, who do you listen to? Do you follow the letter of the law? Even if it feels wrong, who do you listen to?
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Sorry, Mike. Maybe I can see people are not coming in.
No, it's okay. Yeah, just a quick one. Yeah.
You see, when we talk about land, we have two different of land. You see? Let me say commercial and communal.
Yeah.
Okay, the other one falls under willing buyer, willing seller, which is commercial now. Because if I have a farm, like our fellow white people, who do decide their price?
They decide.
If the government wants to purchase that farm.
Yeah, so, they decide, yeah.
You see, they decide.
Mm.
The government will say yes, whether they like it or not.
Mm.
Yeah, they will.
They have to go and get that money to move that farmer. Yeah.
Mm. Yes. What they will say, okay, it's fine, because for the purpose of what? Resettlement.
Yeah.
Now, okay. Now, resettlement, I don't know. That's why I say the people who is for to resettle themselves, because they know that it's not their money, it's the government money, you see? And people who will be resettled, they will resettle among themselves.
Mm.
Now, let us come to communal land.
Yeah.
Okay, I have been there even before Grootfontein was maybe my grandparents. Before the establishment of Grootfontein, or before these commercial farms existed.
Yeah.
Or came into existence. Because when we talk about resettlement, we talk about people's land which was taken illegal from them. Now, that person whom you claim that he took it illegal have the right to decide on the price.
Mm.
But this one who was moved from there to where he at least found comfort, or to say, okay, here is better, you come and decide for that person.
Yeah.
Either you move on this price or we will move you.
Yeah.
You see now, those are the two different things, because the government or the leader should look in this, even the honorable job. He must put that to say that, no, when we talk about equal right, let everything just be equal.
But you know what they do? The whole thing is that now they will come to you and said, well, you are in a boundary, but we have lived there for the rest of our life. We are born there. We were not. It was not a town, whatever. So now they will come and said, you are in a boundary of the town. And you are actually impeding development. So that's how they would argue that either we give you this or we move you.
No, that's not fair. You understand?
Yeah.
First of all, how did the person came to live there?
Generations. You know, we you talk see, about the fourth, five generation. Yeah.
Mm. I can give an example of Ondangwa. They're behind what? The Oluno prison.
Mm.
When I was there those years, they were just villages there, or a village.
Mm.
Now, those people lived there before Ondangwa existed, come to in existence.
Yeah.
Now, when you talk about we move you to where, you see, and why should, and you, yes, if there is in terms of development, it's fine, but let me decide how much do I want, because it's mine.
Yeah.
You see, whoever bought land, if we say, no, you didn't, who bought land in this country? No one. You see, where do you pay that price to God or to who? You see? Because who created land is God. Now, who? Because everyone was settling where he wanted to.
Yeah.
But people were forced. Okay, now you want to force them again, the same system which you fought, you are using it against your own people.
Yeah.
It's just indirect.
Mm.
The same what happened to those people who have moved those years is the same what is happening now when it comes to towns. Because they will force you to move. Either you take that compensation is just for you to understand that, okay, by that time, I suppose not to get this 100,000 or 50,000 or 20,000. We will help you to move. It's fine. But it's forceful. You are forcing a person.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. The person has the right to decide because it's his property.
Mm.
Although, at least, even if you say that, no, it's not yours for that. But what existed first? An egg or a chicken? What came first?
Mm.
Because if you found me there, people lived there before Rundu even became town.
Yeah.
You see? Now, if you want to develop Kaisosi or Kehem or whatever, those people lived there, then sit around the table.
Yeah.
You see? Talk to them, because the developer is the one who is buying that, and you are selling it to on an excessive even price or amount.
Mm.
Now, at least look at the people and say, okay, fine, because we are moving you that side. Now, if you give me 300,000, for example, then I know that, okay, here maybe I was not having money to build a brick house.
Yeah.
At least with this 300 or 400,000 or whatever, I will be able to do something to change my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other thing that people don't realize is that the field that we have actually provided for the family. You know,
yes.
Now you're looking at the field and said, well, what is in the field? There is about two trees or three like that. There's nothing in here. And that's how you determine the value of the plot. But that actually field provided, you know, sustainability, sustenance to this family for many, many, many years. Now, but now you're looking at just, no, it's just from there to here, and how many just square meters, and then, you know, and then we're going to give you this much. But we don't take care. We don't think about that. Yeah.
If you see that land is worthless.
Yeah.
Why are you buying it then?
Yeah.
Why do you want it if it is useless or worthless?
Mm.
You see, the thing is, land or whatever, my property is just like land. When you talk about land, it's just like you go to a woman.
Yeah.
Either she's from rich family or what, if you are interested, it's what matters.
Yeah.
Then the price must be the same if you are interested in her. Whether she stayed at Babylon, you can drive from Klein Vendu Kule. If you want her, unless you want to play. That's what I'm saying, unless they want to play with us. If they are serious with, let us say, a rural development, Bashankwasa is supposed to come in now and enforce that one. To say, look, develop these people because they have been there. If you want development, it must escalate to them as well. You want to develop this area, fine, okay. Those people who stayed here, because it has been cleaned already.
Yeah.
You are not going to do debushing anymore, you see?
Exactly, yeah.
Everything is there, it's clean, it's fine. They can just move, then you start building. Now at least compensate them fairly. Then the minister under rural and urban development, the minister of, sorry, of under, urban and rural development, can come up with a law, you see, to say that, okay, at least the basic, look, at least to say minimum amount, let us say maybe 150,000, then from there you can negotiate further. At least people will just see, okay, maybe from here if I go to the village, I will be able to buy kettles, or I will be able to fence off my land, I will be able to buy, to do something. Not just to move people, but when it comes to the former oppressor, you are smiling, you are saying, no, say, how much is it? No, it's fine. Okay, we will pay you, regardless of what, we will pay you, it's fine. Quick, quick. In the bank. Now, when it comes to people who fought for that, whom you even lied to say, look, if we go and fight this one, this will be the thing of the past. You come and terrorize them using the same system.
Exactly. You see now? Yeah.
That is not good. Yeah. Seriously, the leader should look at that one to say, yes, on paper, but at least compensation must equally be the same like commercial or communal.
Exactly.
Yeah, not communal. This one is willing buyer, willing seller. The other one is forceful. Do you understand?
Yeah,
you force a person to sell, whether he like it or not.
All right. No. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Good point. Great. Yeah.
Sure.
All right. Yeah. So, yes, I was asking some of those questions earlier. So, I mean, and there are no easy answers, you know, but we need to have this debate as a country. The housing shortage won't wait. You know, our people need homes. They need dignity. You know.
Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm fine, man. Yourself?
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Let me just thank God for John.
Yeah.
For also raising that point. And this morning, I overheard it from David.
Yeah.
When he was a morning scoop.
Yes, scoop, yeah.
Scoop. And that point also came in and things like that. But without diluting what John has said, at least in terms of coming up with formulating up the law and compensation, because my question this morning was on the compensation. And the compensation is not only when you get injured at work and all these other things.
Yeah, no, in this case, we're talking about the land compensation.
Right.
Yeah,
that's what I'm now talking about, what John is also talking about. And that's what I was referring to this morning.
Yeah.
So it's very important that many a time, even before the law, because the law is already there sometimes, but I'm not talking about the compensation.
Yeah.
So that one, we have to enact it as soon as possible, because people are, you can be forcibly moved from there, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like you said, and what provision, what law does this be there to protect you? There might be other piece of registration. In terms of where properties, you know, how to deal with those properties, issues, inheritance, and all these other issue legislation.
Yeah.
So, but staying at your place, of course, like you know, they say, you know, there's also a provision and saying, okay, fine, in terms of decentralization and all this settlement and things like that.
Yeah.
But for us here, it seems to be easier on the rural area.
Mm.
Because, of course, maybe you are in Ogwediva, you were telling me the other time, hey, yes, you just have to move and, you know, there are also many within your house,
yeah.
your family cycles.
Mm-hmm.
Some are saying yes, tell him, some are saying what. And then we know very well that at the end of the day, the majority will suffer.
Exactly. And the questions that I don't want to miss is that, like John Ash is saying, is that, look, the commercial farm decide, you know, the commercial farm decide how much this, if you want this farm for resettlement, this is how much you're going to pay. And then when it comes now to communal, they come and actually says, well, we're going to give you 300,000, you know, for your place. They decide. You know.
You see, even the government is still having some money that's supposed to spend into farming for resettlement, isn't it?
Yeah.
And now, so if the same principle apply to, I understand, the communal area or so community, which I also support.
Yeah.
Understand? Because there are people who are living there, and their sustainability, like you said.
Yeah.
So instead of selling it, for example, look at the villages.
Mm.
I was questioning some of the leaders in the head and all these other things. Sometimes you just find the whole of this portion is cut off, you know?
Yeah.
So there are poles put in there where they used to plow is taken. And you know, and you see all this kind of thing. But these are the things that we are doing ourselves.
Yeah. Uncle Bonner, that's the point. That's the point exactly. You see,
we are doing it ourselves because the villages and those who are more influential, and if you are not going to take care of your family, your community, things are like that. One of my sister, she was asking me. I mean, she wasn't asking me anything, just talking, you know, lesson three at the memorial service. But when people portion this one and portion this one, and they bring more poverty.
Exactly. Sustainability
in terms of food security, in terms of even gardening, whatever kind of economic activity that you might want to embark on there.
Yeah. I was about to say something exactly to what you're saying is that I'm just referring to Ponkunda Wetori Pope Pinoshaka Chashan of Akufapu. You know, those people over the Nepsa and over her Limingo Mepsa Mo or Mohakufa, they get their start, they sustain themselves from that field. Pay fashion to Pupingao, but very Marukanda sitting down doing nothing because they have nothing.
No, it's true. So, but in terms of the there is an urgent law. And you see, it's not necessarily the Minister of Urban and Rural Development at Sankwa who's doing a very good job, actually.
Yeah, no. I mean, you.
Now, I'm just saying that yes, I know Johnny also mentioned that yes, they can come up with a registration.
Yeah.
Yeah. So for us, you people there, and everybody. So I was listening to the news yesterday night.
Yeah.
And there were also people who were also thinking the same thing, people who were in the, the some people.
Yeah. At least the policies and the framework, at least the policies and law framework shouldn't make us worse. They shouldn't make us more poor. Yeah.
The former governor is still there. Oh, they won the last year for Sana. Who has been saying, yes, I'm also a son.
Yeah.
I'm also a son. And then it was in a very important meeting, and that's why I'm mentioning his name. So, you see, though in terms of compensation, I'm saying that, yes, the law is crafted from the ground. It's also, of course, the ministers and all these institutions can also propose, and you understand?
Yeah.
And make sure you address that. The formulation of the laws and those steps, you know, you follow and things like that. just like the way they petition to Parliament, or the minister can formulate it through the, maybe like you say, yes, the Minister for Urban and Rural Development, and then you look at some of these things, you see. So that's why it's also very difficult to put some infrastructure. Let's say now, like you want to put some sports center for the children, let's say in the informal settlement.
Yeah.
So, and you have to create some space for the children to play ground and all these things.
Yeah.
And create space for the services. Are you not going to compensate the people?
A quick commission quickly before you round off, ne? Yeah.
Yeah.
Imbaya rire ombwa nai etetla weda ko ombuni kiro ombe ombi hukusha. Njiviro yoye irire ombupu o hatane na wina ikare no matha ko murungu wa indu. Wari rongere kusha umune ondengu o kuura ko imba. Una ovyune vya peke ko gondola mirongo vitatu no hambu umwe mumwe. To kika ovinki no kukara no rupa ondando ya peke yupianja o shimariva. Ola perefende dano kunyeve vitatu mo shimariva. Ola perefende umurongo kunyeve hambu umwe mo shimariva. Ola perefende umurongo ivari na dano. Media Mulgana, Iva Rino Shimarif. It all on Dengu, Timayu, Gura Nawakove, Nawina, Banyamukite. Ashia Sho, Imba, Yakupe, Oshimariva, Sishina, Omarifuro. Imba, O Norangamino, Oyedu Hakainina, Itaku Nawina, Rishangita, Jimon.
All right, yeah, just wrap up now, yeah.
So, what I was saying is that this is exactly what Johnny was saying.
Yeah.
And we are saying that, yes, it's true. There is a serious need there, like you said.
Yeah.
How do we now sensitize yourself and ourselves to ensure that those things don't happen? Because even within that, it's only few family members who have benefited from that.
Yeah, exactly. Mm.
So maybe then, like you said, you put a scale there and say, fine, 150. The rest is up to you to negotiate.
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. The whole American negotiating, all these things, look at those things.
Mm.
Of course, I know that the way those kind of threats and all these other things, but sometimes it takes courage.
Yeah.
And then, but to formulate up some of these things, you can appeal those things. That's why it's very important that you have the stakeholders there and you talk. But I understand this concern is very, very important because this is to protect the human rights.
Yeah, definitely.
Good.
All right, man. Thanks for coming through.
Yeah?
Mm. All right. Maybe let's recap quickly what we have unpacked today from Rundu. So, yeah, first is disputed values. We're looking at disputed values. People feel the legally mandated compensation for their land is simply not fair. It's simply not fair, and they are refusing to move. And that in itself, stop development, stop progress. Okay, so something need to be definitely done. So you can't. There is a standoff now between what is being offered and what people think it's worth of their land. And for 10 years now, even the council said for 10 years we didn't do anything. We didn't, do anything. Yeah, so it's a serious concern that need to be addressed seriously. Secondly, a broken verification process. There's also that, I think the verification process it's broken. The system to confirm who owns what land is, first of all, it's slow and it's unreliable, Yeah, from the way things are happening and from the story itself that we read. So it also creating that deep mistrust because of this has been happening in the past. So people now, they kind of like, okay, because of the past injustices, they not willingly, want to do this. Because how do we know? How do we trust you? How can we trust you? So you have to prove to us that we can trust you. So, and the flawed implementation. The policy itself may not be the villain, but the way it's applied on the ground can seem arbitrary and unjust sometimes. So, and all that need to be considered. It's a complex web, you also have to understand that this is a complex web of money, of history, and power that is creeping development, you know. So unless it's sorted out, because some of this area that need to be serviced, you know, some of this blood that need to be severed are earmarked for factories, are earmarked for schools, are earmarked for maybe a clinic in the area, are earmarked for. So it's not only that it's for housing development. It could be that those plots that aren't serviced, it could have been earmarked for something else. Do you understand? And it caused development and it stopped that development. Yeah? That is a story playing out in Rundu, and it's not only playing out in Rundu. This is being echoes. It echoes in the challenges we face across Namibia. So it's not just in Rundu. It's the same thing, you know, we experience everywhere in across the country. So if you still want to add up, if you still want to comment on that, if you still want to react on that, maybe it's a similar thing that is happening in your town. So what's your take? 08333-66091, 08333-66091. So I'm waiting on your reaction. So let's unpack this.
Omutiha with the Kirakaguna, I Matina Omjo. Chikao Shafasa Nana, Longishifa, Yai, Shuita Moshiwana, I Moyao, Otaingo Gotisamwene, Anagashifa, Yanamibia, Ombitom Banawa, Orangika. Seisanina, Omaguro, Nidanitoma, Yue, Yongishifa, Yokupitramo, Igel FM Media House. Ngwe tuende tuimemeha uu kakombanga nena. Kara omkwashi paregi uimepo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datu ndatu heari hamano tano oliyaj. Igel FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima. Don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. This is the eye. We keep our eye on what is happening in and around the countries and bringing you those stories. All right. Good morning and welcome. A good rain. You know, I love this kind of rain. It's not that pouring on you, but that's just showering a little bit. You know, that's the kind of rain that I love. You know, you could do whatever you need to do. It doesn't really bother you that much. Yeah. So good morning and welcome. 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 This is Eagle FM and you are on Unpacking the Day. So let's move on. Let's move on. But you're most welcome to come through and comment on our earlier story, the story of Rundu and compensation, the standoff, you know, when it comes to compensation of land. So you're welcome. You can still come and react to that if you didn't get a time. So I have a time for you. It's just maybe from your side. I have absolutely time for you. I will give you the air and have your opinion, whatever you want to say. So, is a national conversation. This is a national debate. Okay? So have your say. Come through and talk to us and talk to the people of your town. All right. So let's move on. Let's move on. This is equally important. This is equally important. In this segment, let's talk about money. Okay? Well, we were talking about money as well, but specifically our government's money. Actually, our money. So when we're talking about government money, but we're talking about our money, the warning bells that, and also let's talk about the warning bells that are ringing loud and clear. Ringing loud and clear. So you know that feeling. Eh? You know that feeling when your bank account looks healthy. Okay? Your bank account looks healthy, but you know a massive bill is coming. A massive bill is coming. And once you pay it, you'll be left with almost nothing. Excuse me. So so once you pay that, you know that, I think I will be on the zeros. All right. So, well, now experts, economists, politicians, and are saying that's exactly where our country finds itself right now. So now let me, so we are at, we have a cash crunch. All right. If we can put it that way, we have a cash crunch. The government is spending more money than it actually bringing in, you know, and the consequences that could be very, 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 very painful. Okay. So let's unpack that. Let's unpack it. And what is really going on with our national finances? All right. What is going on with our national purse? So that's what we need to look at. And according to the report by the Cyrus Capital, for a long time, we were told the government's bank account was looking good. So we have been told, don't worry. The bank account look healthy, look good. But a new analysis suggests that it was a bit of an illusion. Okay? That it was a bit of an illusion. Why? Why I think they're saying that it was a bit of an illusion is because a big chunk of that cash wasn't really free money. Okay? That money was tied up. So you look at your account, it look healthy, but there's a big chunk of that money that it's actually tied up. So it was sitting in, that money was sitting in what is called the sinking fund. Okay. And when you think of the sinking fund, think of it like a saving account, a saving account that you set up specifically to pay off one huge unavoidable bill. Okay. So you set it up that for that specific bill. All right. Now for Namibia, that bill was a massive international loan. You remember when we paid, how much that was it? How much what for that bond? 75 in terms of US dollar, but it was about 13 billion Namibian dollar for the euro bond. So we paid it off late last year. And once that money was gone, now the truth was revealed. You remember, we all think that our account is really healthy, you know, but now once that money was gone, now the truth was revealed. Now, our government's bank went from being positive by 4 million. So when that sinking money was there, sinking fund was that was still there. So it went from being positive by 4 billion actually to being in the red by 3 billion in just 2 months. You understand? So that's why, you know, the expert said, well, it was a bit of an illusion. Okay. So our bank account wasn't really healthy. Okay. So because once that money was moved, so we move into the red with 3 billion. And that was just in 2 months. So that is a 7 billion swing in the wrong direction, people. You know, it's 7 billion swing in the wrong direction. So now on top of that, the other things then also that the government owes business about, they owes the businesses, the government owes businesses about 800 million Namibian dollar. And that is in VAT, in VAT refunds. And that's the money now that should be in the pocket of the business people, the business owners, maybe to help us, you know, to help them grow and also maybe, you know, be able to hire more people in their business. So the government also put that money also, add that money also, about 800 million in VAT refunds. So now, the core problem is simple, right? The core problem here is very simple. our spending outpacing our income. What does that say? Now, just imagine if it were your spending is outspending, is outpacing your income. What is that? We're actually living beyond our means as a country. We're living beyond our means as a country. Are you hearing me? So what do I need to bank? What do I need to do? We are living beyond our means as a country. And the big question is, what do we do now? We will talk about that after this commercial quickly.
Attention all aspiring students. The International University of Management is thrilled to announce that late applications for the academic year 2026 are now open and closing on the 20th of February 2026. Whether your passion lies in environmental management and sustainability sciences, health sciences, ICT, business and strategic management, or in education, we have the perfect program waiting for you. And to our future leaders and changemakers, you are not left out. Boost your career with our postgraduate programs or advance your journey through the Graduate School of Business. Study full-time, part-time, or via distance learning. The choice is yours. Your future, your way. For more information, visit www.ium.edu.na or call us at 061-433-6000. That's 061-433-6000. IUM, a Namibian university dedicated to its people's future.
All right, that's a future for you at IUM. Make sure that you check that out. All right. So, as I said, what do we do now? As I said earlier on, if you didn't hear me very well, the core problem is that our spending is outpacing our income. Very fast. It's not even very slowly. It's very fast. So according to this report. So now, what it means is that we are living beyond our means as a country. Now, there are still a lot of pressing issues that you need to address. What do you normally do? What would you do? What would you do? There are still things that you need to address. So as a, think of that as a country. Now, think of that as if it was individual, that you still have to buy to make sure that people eat at home. You know, you still have to buy some groceries. You still have to pay some bills. So what do you do? So, this is a story in the daily newspaper, and we have a number of experts gave their opinion. But what is your opinion? Now, well, some, the experts are divided. Okay? They are divided on this. And this is where it's probably getting interesting here. Now, on one side, you have some very worried economists. Okay? So you have some worried economists, and they see not as a temporary problem. They see this as not a temporary problem, but it's a deep structural issue. So this is a structural issue. They warn that if it continues, the government will be forced to make some very tough choices. It will be forced to make some very tough choices. And what are those choices? There are only two choices for the government. What one of them is either one is that to borrow even more. You understand? It's to borrow even more. Maybe take another international loan, a third Eurobond. Or even go to big international lenders like the IMF. So that's a choice. That's one choice. Borrow even more. And given where we are already, as I said, if they said that continues, it's a structural issue, and if it continues, it's gonna land us into trouble. The other choices, you also have another choice. The choice actually cut. So now they warn that the easiest target for cut. What are the easier target for cut? The easier target for cuts are the social programs. Social programs many of us are dependent on. So even one of the economists actually pointed out the reality many of the people are experiencing already, or many of people have seen already. I mean, empty pharmacies, empty pharmacy shelves in the hospital, in public hospital. That's a reality already. Empty pharmacy shelves in the public hospitals. And if this is continues, that he says that is just the beginning. It's just if the beginning, if the cash, it doesn't start flowing, if the money, it doesn't come, it start coming in, then that will continue. It even become worse. But then you have another group of experts who say, hold on. Let's not hit the panic button yet. Eh? Not just yet. All right? They agree the pressure is on. They said, well, the pressure is on. We agree, but they believe it's manageable. Okay? Do you think it's manageable? They argue that the government has a history of stabilizing finances when things get tough. All right? So they believe, well, their solution is just about, is not, so now their solution is not just about, you know, cutting spending, but about smarter spending, you know, so that we need to spend smarter. And they say we need to focus on what is essential. I think that's the idea. If we have to borrow, now they say, well, if we have to borrow, let's not borrow to pay for day-to-day running costs. You don't seem to analyze where the money goes quite a lot if you're saying that. I understand. Ideal is to say, let's not borrow to pay day-to-day running costs. Let's borrow for things that will make us. Now, the ideal is to borrow for the things that will make us more money in the future. Project that builds roads, generate power, create real sustainable job. That's what we want. Let's borrow. But where do we suspend? Well, last time I was talking about, was it Tuesday? Was it this week? Monday? I was talking about, or last week, could be talking about money. There was less spent in construction, you know, in development. And we know that development budget is far less compared to the operational budget. And then you have the political angle also. You know, one politician argues that our debt problem is now structural. Eh? It's now structural. So we're stuck in a cycle of borrowing to pay for daily life, not for projects that would generate, you know, power or create real sustainable job. Not for growth, but, you know, we're borrowing to pay for daily life, to have the light on. That's what we do. So he makes a powerful point about program like, National Youth Fund. He says that investing in our youth is smart. You understand? It's a very smart thing. But not if the money just disappeared without creating business or jobs, because you could be giving money, but have you really put up, have you really, you know, set up a way that would make sure that this become productive? This would create business. This would create jobs. So if it's not designed to produce results, it's not an investment. And we are accustomed to that. And we have seen that over and over. It's just another cost. Then it becomes just another cost. So, and that's bring me to you, our listeners, right? We still have a few minutes left. It brings me to you because these are not just abstract numbers somewhere in a report. These are decisions that will, that will shape our future. So, I want to ask you today, okay? And the line is open, you know, it's open for now, you can come through. So first of all, should our government borrow money, all right? And I want us to think, this is not just when you come through and talk about it, so, but also something that you have to discuss among yourself, wherever you are. Just discuss that with your colleague, discuss with your, you know, with your husband, with your wife, with whoever, you know, whoever sitting next to you in the queue, whatever service you're looking for. So should our government borrow money to get us out of this hole? Eh? And if they do, where should that money go? Should it go to straight into keeping the lights on in our hospitals and schools? Or should it be, shouldn't be gambled, you know, gambled in big projects that might create jobs, eh? And future income. And that is also not a guarantee. So it's not a guarantee in itself. Now, and if we can't borrow, let's say for example, if we can't borrow, what get cuts? Now, if we can't borrow, then we have to get to cut spending. So what get cut? And actually, this is the hard one. Do we tighten our belt on things like old age pensions or free education is something that we just started? Or do we look at cutting those costs of government itself? Maybe the cost of government itself, like travel, the conferences, the big projects. So where do you draw the line when it comes to some kind of shared sacrifice? Because we have to sacrifice something. We have seen that where the president said, okay, we're not going to increase the social grant for the old people because we're spending money somewhere else. It goes into free education. It goes into subsidized education. So those are the cuts that we're talking about. They're real. It's not just, you know, it's not just something we're talking about. So, yeah, maybe, as I said, do you do certain cuts just to keep the light on? Eh? Do you do that? Good morning.
Yes, that's Mega. Sorry to come back.
No, if you come into this story, it's fine, you know.
Yeah, I come for 7 seconds.
Yeah,
you know, Mike, no? Where I'm thinking of that we are losing the money, so not only about the, what we are paying off the debt, but it's when we are having a capital account debt, then we give it to the foreigners.
Yeah.
That money never stay in, to never grow our economy. Because
yeah.
It's going away.
It's going away. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and it's where I'm thinking or we are getting it wrong. Because mostly, like now, I heard that we are getting a grant from China for police, what? Housing.
Yeah.
And remind me, that money when it comes, guess who is going to be given? Especially if it comes from China already. The Chinese are going to, they are the ones who are going to construct those houses.
Yeah.
At the end of the day,
so it's their money. It's kind of like this, you know, they follow their money. They give you money. Exactly. They give it to their own people. So, well, you will end up with an infrastructure, but the
but
money
the
that,
end of the day, not really a benefit from you.
Yeah, not really, you know.
Yeah.
So the money comes in and it's like what the American used to do. You know, this, developing donors that they used to do.
Donors, yeah.
You have this massive, many American comes here to work in it.
Millions of dollars, then they come, they are people who are the ones who are doing the job.
Yeah.
And even the, what, even medicine, have to be bought, they have to perform with the pharmacy from America.
Exactly. So it was like we can't eat this money in America, so we have to go to Africa to eat this,
so
because
the
environment is more conducive there. We can now say you know, they have this problem, we are addressing this problem.
We donate you this.
Actually 70% of that money actually goes to much of administration rather than actually directly to people. Yeah.
Oh, you are talking, that's the same, well, you know, Ukraine is in debt.
Yeah.
But guess who the weapon I've been bought?
Yeah, it's exactly. You know, it's the war in Ukraine, and who is benefiting from that? So we said we are helping you. You know, we said we give you the equipment, and but it's company, it's army company, it's army company of Americans that are actually that are benefiting. You know,
I'm telling you.
I tell you, war is business nowadays. You know,
it's business.
Yeah,
it's business.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. That's follow the money, where is the money going?
Yeah, no, that's the way. Yeah, follow the money. Yeah.
Yeah, but for us, I think we seriously need to do something when it comes to our the way we keep the money circulating in the country.
Yeah.
I think even those guys who've been benefiting for tenders for the past 10 years, they're supposed to be removed because now this time they're supposed to be graduated.
Yeah.
We'll do something else.
So remember yesterday, was it you where I tell you that we are not strategic enough?
You know, very much.
We're not strategic enough. We are not focused. We kind of like, we know what our needs, but we are addressing them ad hocly. You understand?
Yeah.
So we don't really have a, even if we have a plan to say, we have Vision 2030 and all this. Those are very nice on paper. But do they really talk to the reality of this country?
They talk about Vision 2030. Is
anybody
talking about it?
Yeah.
About now, they are all quiet.
Mm-hmm. You can talk about the NDP6 and it may be. And we quote about it and all that. But, you know, look, as I said, in the budget, in the budget, the 2025-2026, there were that we each constituency would have actually a sports stadium, okay, on a different level, okay, and that fund and that money, okay, that money is available, okay, but what happened? Do you hear where anywhere they have started actually constructing this one? Yeah, the other thing, I don't know whether it was a constituency or region. That there would be a planting process, processing plant or facilities in every region, if it's not every constituency.
Yeah.
So it was in this budget, 25-26 budget. So what is happening? Do you hear anywhere that this is actually happening? A facility is being developed, is being actually built somewhere?
Not yet at all. What I heard is just about the meeting which is being constructed anywhere. Somewhere in
Yeah, no, that's for Mitiko. That's for Mitiko. Yeah.
For Mitiko anyway.
Yeah.
But for me, I think let us have a strategy where of priority first. Because now we are spending even money in buying SUV. And we're still having that old machete with you. Up to now we never put it in the auction.
Yeah. I'm 100% convinced that our political system, it's completely the one that's taking us back. We need to find a different political system that definitely helping us to grow. I'm 100% convinced. Yeah.
Which is true, Mike, what you are saying.
Yeah.
Because now, remember one thing now, Mike. You are spending, you are buying cars, but you know that the Minister of Health, they need what? They need medicine.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they are still holding to the old one, the old Mercedes. Why you cannot put those old Mercedes in the auction to generate income?
Yeah.
Yeah, but so the people can have a medicine in the hospital.
Yeah.
But now we are talking about the life of our people.
When the car is still actually in good condition or whatever the case may be, put it in the auctions and then, you know, generate money that can be still reinvested. Yeah. So, even about that, I would actually say, I would pay you, okay? I would give you a government vehicle, know, one or two, just the bucky and a small car, and that's all. Eh?
Yeah,
and monitor the use of that. Now some people you find they have three or something like that. Eh?
More than even four.
Yeah. All right.
Otherwise, even we are spending one person, maybe we are even spending like what? When it comes to fuel, one trip, even more than 20,000.
my friend.
Because there are four or five cars are following each other, yeah. One person.
Yeah, for that's, just.
That's Namibia. Yeah, but you remember, I don't know when they are campaigning. They are only everyone here is a car. But yeah. Now, that's how they become vulnerable. They are then followed by five or six cars.
No, the one.
I don't understand, my friend, man.
As I said.
Your time is up,
all right, man.
I'm listening. Okay, thank you, man.
Yeah.
Sure.
All right, man. Thank you. Yeah, I 100% convinced that our political system is absolutely, you know, not in favor. It doesn't align with what we want, the way we vision, we want to achieve development. And we need really to rethink our political system because it doesn't. Yeah. So, all right. And that's actually bring us to the end of our episode, this episode of Unpacking the Day. Thank you for those who have come through for your contribution this morning. And let's do that again tomorrow at the same time here on Eagle FM. So I will now leave you in a good hand of that Naluvanda. That Naluvanda.
That the mic.
How are you this morning?
I'm sure.
Kunoka durambira kawango?
Kanawe tutomianena.
How is it?
Oh, you were tenu shira ungo diva watutanga.
Yeah, ndo kwa 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 liu nene kudrifenga kungo diva.
Wafie ki na ilok.
Oh, is taicho shinda jia kongula.
Aye, wafie ki na ilok.
Oh, ya kia ali ngu nene.
Nae, bifa ya tuto mea lila.
Oh, so tundi wete wea uli mefaga faga, ilo moshikano.
Imalo durandeko umekashi dure na yango. Durota endele.
Okay.
Mm.
Ewa, oh, tunene poshigano nena? Tukaleta tulikoma albulo.
Nena tukapose uteku unona. Unona ta monongo ikuna mo kutekulwa kwa watu wetu tutekula na wafimbori mwe. Nda yeah. Tukahipeke ngala mwenyo do unona. Unene anwa vapa umbola tuwa dara unona veliko maumbo.
Mm.
Tavi yangene venari ya supporter.
Yeah.
Ya morwa kwa chao. Fimbori mwe unona vekupumga. Nda penonga bongu luka dinaru unona. Iro fimbori mwe tawanifa. Paifo totekula ikawa unapa. Nda veliko nje kunya veli mojo. Sisi to wana kutokonona.
Yeah.
Weni maniri ngao, ahaye tane unu anavakule ne depression. Ne inima inji.
Osho, kasi siungo shina kuwa nefasha. Hakalu mema geno kwa meme ngo kuchangeno. Ondinango kutara kuchongaro ili nge ipi.
Mm-hmm.
Opo ndikwa, ndikale kucha. Aye, inandika lango hainingi mwaka kwao, amba ndatu mbrosicha.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so... Kucha kwa jaka, amendehena nana onkake na utawuduruku kwa fuwe italiduruku wa funo nava. Kashiringo natango ngeno kwa nungeno kucha po vengo kucha ae, nandike lengo nde, ndahani, ndehete uno nava hapu kwa mbadae dusha shiti duruku wa
kwa fere. Upsa kaditu nava Afrika, yeah. Operation is power. Habala inge shefa, ndekati no operation. Ilo ngona ndoe ngila ndatotaleti mahita didane nova hapu.
Mm.
No military, it's very weak, shashikati no population. Oto utifuwa kone, okay, imako ke etifuwa neko ilo mbokucha. Inamu daru nona vapu. Shoshu weto nungo kwa monoka anakamwe pefi itahale kumonuvali. O population na yomi ngokote tutatende neta dikurupo ilo mbute itekinga over. Oshimaishi no shilonga.
Osho kashisho, ilo mbute itekinga over shashi.
Mm.
Chapote itekinga over pa madiradino. Mm. De ilo mbu. Ngengo ya janale haidara okana kamwiro vavali irumbu yetano nava hapo
oliye
so otay taking over ngaipi ngenge oludalo la loli kupi
oliye tulombola kucho irumbu yedale kuno nava bali
o so tusiwete most of the time they
mayo veke ininga
yeah.
Shiva monakucha kave na o madu uva hapo vapitirila poneve nda tarimit afuriko yali ne population odish
population non calo no birth rate you know still so how to daruno never have compared to Europe or America
ma katwa hapo ni
eh
fione na nande emwaru edimwa balolota kujopo to hapo 3 mara shawa ningolisecha
o topo pemo Namibia
modene e fole hapo
ya topo pemo Namibia modene
e fole no the hapo ndali kupoka imaka. Alushengengo wangi longo te ime ndakana ndo Ameriki loro wa shilo India. Because
yeah.
Of ilo China. Moro population.
Not really. Tara,
ilongo injina ndo moro wa shapaife akulukajota tu mkumo vete po unona. Ta support wake pangelo. Moro wa shikembela.
Opunirongo in the population is happy, but they are poor, absolutely poor.
Ngashipen.
Atu popina ndenge. Let's talk Somalia, for example.
Somalia tanenge ko poor shashi. Ilongo yeah. Shetu ya Afrika tu chenye ko tuvasi wana. Shashi ni maetuita ilongo muse. Yeah. Umako ili atupiti kwa eshi tulieninga umako tabangwa atu neni. Mwenjila ike nongkaro wewe stena diri. Paifa atu rufanane kuchopua maro ya notipua wakutumbako zinga, wakutumbako kopa. Naluvanga,
atu yeah. Kee nipo ndodoyo neni ano hatu tale kusha, hapi tale ni sevene kucha. Bakwe, paife, otenda ngone atu kora nye pandisi kati liane, de paifo tuwete ngone kuchotafika mapeni, okay? Paifo tuwa wete ne ndunge dawa tutiwete. Nongkala utarongo paifo tuwa wete. Na tulunduru lenine. Okay? O hatu kea pondo do pone ini hatulunduru la. Ilo hatu kale kengone tulio victim aluse. Aluse hatu kwenye iko sega tunigbanga, sega tunigbanga. When do we come to the point?
Oshu chatate maika.
Eh.
Okupo pisa okupo.
Definitely.
Wete, yeah. Okupo pisa kutu okupo na kudifanu nawa. Marunyu noveni. Ishi tulieninga ndino nshangwa. Nenando ushangira kutate beni longeni. Omorwa shikembela ilongo etuita ikungwa mako tamango ya ningurule. Hoduru kukufu ekeko shipu ndi mendelelo.
Ya.
Yeah. Omorwa shiketa shiningiru. Oshe shi ilongo etuita opolela nari. Ito duru kutula moveta mwenu wawa. Etuko tamango roi nari nyamaku yavu. Ngenge neno weva tulakonje. Dimburuka kucha uri moju. Ini maina tuyu kililenye. Katu wale katuya fifu wa mwana unuta huongo kakolo nungu.
Ya.
Yeah. Unyu nyeshu ulipo unoveni.
Ya. Yeah. Anongengo shoshiringa ho. Anongengo shoshiringa ho. Na tusitalereke kuchava kwetu. Kese ike, eshi topo pinga ho kasinapata shiosho. Shasho tunu kupigina kongona.
Kweteko? Nekupo shio penema. Upumone kuchashafuri kwa makatarumi.
Ya. Yeah.
Tunamari mata panguru wa shashimba kili debua.
Ya.
Yeah. Maro tunahelelo na nama na ndonga yanga pia dipo. Fionino yeah. Tanyenga kupura mozjemeni.
Yeah.
Why ita tu supporta mari make shomo kwikale kakwe. Imweneka. Ngengo nyo niko unoveni.
Yeah.
Ini mayo yone atuti omaongo etu apunga kushenja.
Yeah.
Ndi hatukirile nyoshiri. Ubushinga kuchunyu niye ule kwa komavaya.
Ayo so
ulimo njira. Mungu vaya utu atu druku tiangasha situ ala tufafani
tena. Oe noshimari wa. Oe ta kontrolu nyoni. Eh? Oe, yeah. Oe noshimari wa. Oe ta kontrolu nyoni.
Yeah.
Na ndiku ditapato ti.
Yeah.
Nande upote.
Unyunyunoveno. Wakitiku popile mumbo la mweni.
Ya, yeah, opo ndiku dite.
Ya. Yeah.
Ya. Yeah. Nde okuchane.
Yeah.
Opunango shimo osho shirimo kontro. Owete kono opunango shiri opo ndiku te kucha. Punini mihapu. Oyo ito duruku ininga. Shasho uli. Uli shitopura shu unyune ndishi. Shasho.
Maravata ve iningi vo. Yeah. Na vo veringo shitopura shu unyune.
Vo.
Ndatino kutumbala nekupe kuhirufu yopo mbata.
Ya.
Utapewe nji digiri hatu ilongo. Maravata ve ilongo, shesho vo vene vunyoni.
Ya.
Ovo vetpi ilongerwa, opo ukalowe vatila, opo ne udule kukarito kumwini mai.
Ya, that's exactly what... onga ramonyo aluse kucha, kucho opitalele po ponkunda.
Ya.
Ilo mumbo.
Ya.
Aluse opuneko utati, oye nengono. You know?
Amesione na.
Upuneko we nengono.
Yeah.
Shosho opitarele pangaloyo. De pitarele na pepe wangajola kula kucha. Nandingeno we etane ponyo ni kucha. Upuneko gara we nengono.
Amo yeah. Ndara niku poke imaka kuru dalolu nono wawati.
Yeah.
Kuchorie mnombu la kucha nungo kwa dalolu nono wapua sonja. Shekutato pa daro ifele na nuveri vayari. Marina tu sonja la shina tutekuru wako mungu. Mawatulimu yunita ufi wani natuka elemento vionini.
Yeah.
Edimuruka kucho penda mungu ni waita. Tatina sana na shoshirongo cha manguruka mara fione ni natuka elemento apilili mara sho tulimo population ya chashanti yeah. Ono adalu no nawapo omomuna engaridia po
ai unyunyo ulonge geno pensem geno ai ngaundi kudite okucham
yeah.
what I'm trying to say kucham opuno omkalo omngashito tingeno mwadala muba hapo no befimbo amwadala muba hapo opali puno nkalo wo onkalo walipo kucha anoveno mapsa. You know,
yeah, Avi nafika pondo deo. Ngashine mbo tatovali mwa mwota pinjo marodu. Yeah. Mwa mwekwenda na kurukatiba. Yeah. Mwa mwengo kukara kongkara. Ukwane mene na pumbola.
Oso jisuti tene. Ngengo toshi tarene kucha. Yeah. Ngoweshe takucha. Mm. Onkalo ne wali mwadaro mwa hapu. Ito auduru kueta paife. Pongala pa ulingenge katuli mongalo. Oyo na ta. Oyo. Sanyo mnita duru kukarfes. Wali mito ukalo nukurukati umoge. Pa mango. Pave tairiko. Shikwao. Kuno mapsa toduru. Kuno mapsa. Ngashine ngeno vanu hapo. Havanu hapo taduru kukano mapsa. Makula. Okulongi iria. Nokulonge eriko. Loku sapo tuno. Nanga vefikopo.
Wete yeah. Date Michael.
So. Tasinge no toshe takucha. Ngo toshe tarene mongkalomo. Mm-hmm. Ondi shu diteko. Mm-hmm. De ngengo toshe tarene mongkalomo. Turi pay for tutara. Oshopo ndere kutara kucha. Otuno kustara mongalomo turi peife, no tuno kusi adjustinga ngeipi, opo tu shifitinge pangaro apatu.
Kwa mwono nari ya tekalando tapi, yeah. Shashokuli mongalo ya mtapi kwa makara, yeah. Akiko kulino. Moro katu walo inge dolopa digufepo mapsi yetu shembole mapsi ya katana. Shashashi, ushu kujono hii kifuwa ngaro,
yeah.
Utamono hii kiwacho yope fimbolo,
yeah.
Mara mbole ngara mwenye hii ya eti itula mshiponga.
Yeah.
Shashi kape nungu wana wawe nungu inai, ini mara indireke pwamu. Umoro wa shika tuwefe dolopa dena digufepo mapsi yetu, mm. Ina mwenye wetu taifipo ye na pate hili. Ndate teke, pate, no mamanyo matungo taya, yeah. Ponele tukatungeko mafuta shatu. Atu ama nene pwa anu vetu, umoro ike mbela nene anu vetu vye limo mamenu. Mirongwa yeah. Ike pei afu.
Tela tupu
gine kwa
utea.
Yeah.
Hello.